Ring.
All right, we got 4 days and 3 hours and 43 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. To what?
To Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
So, until I can start yelling silly things into my Xbox Live headset.
Yes.
What will you do if it's not that?
Then I'm going to take you for a ride. Hello and welcome to the Squadron of Shame's Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 24th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti with my brother, Ajgai Minotti.
Yo.
Say hi, Ajgai. Yep, say hi. Yeah, good, good. You did. And we also got David Wynn, Sword Guy, with us.
Hey.
I guess I should say it's David Sword Guy Wynn. We usually...
Yeah, whatever.
No. Wynn is your handle today, and Sword Guy is your last name.
Okay.
All right, so, well...
Maybe I should have done that.
So, we're going to start off with the news, then we'll get to 1996, Game of the Year. Then we got the Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz, then we'll talk about our week in gaming, talk about the downloadable game releases, and the weekly game releases, and that'll be the whole show. So, why don't we get started, Edge Guy?
Okay. Well, I'll let you talk about it, since I'm sure you've been obsessively following it, but we have strong indications that an announcement of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is about to be announced.
Yes.
Your thoughts and information on this, please.
Well, there have been hints for a while now. The ESRB rated it, like, months ago. And then, like, there was news that, like, someone was making a fighting stick for the 360 that was Marvel vs. Capcom 2-based, and then a list of achievements leaked, and now there's this countdown site... TU4AR.com, which is counting down to something from that's 4 days and 3 hours and 40 minutes from now. There's a giant 2 in the background, and TU4AR is clearly referencing Take You For a Ride, the kind of infamous song from the character select screen of Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Plus, people have kind of done some other clever things, like we know this is a Capcom site. And, like, if... I don't know, there's Listen, this has to be it. I mean, come on. The only way this is not it is if they are clearly messing with us. There's no way it's accidentally something else that we're not thinking of at
this
point.
What if this is actually going to turn out to be like you're going to go to that site like after the countdown and the 2? It's going to turn into a 3. I think
well,
I
now
broke
you guys,
him.
Now you've got his hopes up. He's just doomed to disappointment forever.
Die. No. Well, right. The most I'm hoping for is maybe an HD remix, but considering just the sheer amount of art assets in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I don't think that's likely.
Right.
I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom itself, I mean, the game just stole art assets from previous games. That was kind of the whole point of it, was we'll just combine all these games and make a new cheap game, you know?
Yeah.
That's why
that was awesome.
That's why some of the sprites, like especially the Darkstalker characters, they don't look as good as, like, say sprites that are from Street Fighter Alpha or the Marvel or the X-Men game or even characters made from Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
You know what it's actually going to be? It's going to be a shmup like the new King of Fighters.
Oh god.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. I don't get that at all.
The Marvel vs. Capcom shoot 'em up.
Yeah, but at least there's also King of Fighters 12, so I'll accept, you know, their stupid shmup game.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of shmups where, you know, the instead of a spaceship
anything but a
you're
spaceship.
Just a person. Yeah. not anything but a spaceship. Just being a person that's flying around. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's sort of like whenever Guilty Gear turned into a real-time strategy game.
Yeah, honestly.
That actually happened. That was a PS2 game. Or no, sorry, it was a PSP game.
Fighting games rarely ever work in any other genre, and they're always trying. I guess some people like Puzzle Fighter 2. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
It
was
okay.
It was fine. It was unbalanced as all fuck, but, you know.
Right,
it was...
but I mean, we're always getting, like, the Mortal Kombat spinoffs with... Well, there's one with Sub-Zero, and there's that, which I played, and it was
oh,
terrible. And then there's one with Jax. I don't even know what that was about.
Because everyone loves Jax.
Yeah, they were going... What was that Sub-Zero spinoff called? Mortal Kombat Mythology, was it?
Yeah.
They were going to make one for every character in that series.
Oh, man, that might have been sweet.
until it bombed.
Right.
I would guess that they were probably going to do Scorpion next, and it was going to be the exact same game except yellow.
Palette swap. Just
entire palette swap. Everything that was blue is now yellow.
No,
that's not
maybe
ice,
they
it's
would.
Fire.
Yeah, yeah. The ice would be like turned into lava or something. Lava that was like held in place, I guess.
AJ, I just want to commend you. This is an awesome leadoff story. Typically, your leadoff stories are kind of lame. Like you pick some sort of hardware crap or something stupid, but this is awesome.
Well, I try to please.
Yes.
All right.
Well, hopefully by next week we'll know that Mars's Combat 2 is coming.
Well, let's keep the fighting game motif going. So releasing by the time you hear this on the 24th, the Street Fighter 4 Championship Edition DLC will be out for free. The date is the big news here. But this is what will allow you to set up and compete in tournaments in the game and watch replays of some of the best tournament matches.
That's cool.
That'll be fun.
It'll mostly serve to make me feel ashamed of my own skills.
Right. But maybe you'll learn something.
No, it won't. every time I see every time I get a new fighting game, I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do this by watching, like, YouTube clips of people teaching me how to do it. And it always just ends up in sadness.
Yeah.
Watching tournament play Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is always kind of bizarre.
Did you see that Dago, the guy from the infamous Evo YouTube video,
mm-hmm.
won the first international Street Fighter 4 tournament?
Oh, right. Really?
Which is, nice. I always admired that Street Fighter 3 YouTube video.
Yeah.
Which got a lot of, attention in all of, the big sites and magazines upon Street Fighter 4's release.
Yeah, everyone knows that video now. I feel like we found it back when before it was popular.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we can sit on our porch and rock in our chairs and yell at the kids. Okay, so last week we talked about the Sony marketing survey that hinted at the possibility of the first two God of War games coming on a special edition Blu-ray with the God of War 3 Collector's Edition. So Sony's gone into immediate damage control. And an SCEA rep told Kotaku that it is simply a marketing survey, the goal of it to do focus group testing. We're just trying to find out what would resonate with the God of War community. If that was the number one requested thing, that would be something they would need to see if it was most technically feasible. Now, this is like going to people and asking, would you like to be happy? And being surprised when they say yes.
Yeah, honestly, what do they think? No.
Well, nah, we don't want that.
That's stupid.
So, I almost feel like now, they're probably thinking, shit, we might have to do this now. But, I don't know what they expected.
I don't think they're going to try and please anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. Hold hope down in your heart, but I don't actually expect to see free games when they could so easily, just sell you the greatest hits version that you can't play on your PS3.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that might be it, though, is the fact that it is backwards compatible, but I don't know.
Okay, downloadable game, then.
There you go. People are still waiting for that announcement. It's coming, I bet.
One day.
We'll see. All right. It was off-rumored, now confirmed, they're releasing the Xbox 360 Games of the Years bundle, which is an elite system that includes Halo 3 and Fable 2 for the same price of $3.99.
Who called Fable 2 Game of the Year?
Somebody did.
Actually, someone did. Yeah, that's right. I think IGN or someone.
Yeah, as long as someone calls it, that's all that qualifies it.
I guess
you'll notice that both of these games are Microsoft Game Studios titles.
Oh, yeah. Well, natural. No, actually, I'm not mad at if you get someone like IGN to say your game is Game of the Year, I don't mind if you go ahead and say it. I guess I'm kind of mad at IGN's standards.
Yeah. Well, Fable 2 is a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. It wasn't the game of that year.
But both of these games still do sell.
Came out.
I know. Both of these games do still sell for $60, right?
I think
Halo's down a little bit.
Yeah.
I would hope Halo is. I don't know.
But regardless, I think it's a hell of a lot better than the current Sony bundle where you get, launch titles that have superior sequels out now. This is, it's really a good deal.
Yeah, it is a nice deal.
If I didn't already have one, I would buy that.
Yep. All right, well, you mentioned Fallout, so let's get into that. It was announced this past week that Obsidian is working on a new Fallout title set in Vegas, releasing in 2010, that is not a sequel to Fallout 3.
It just worries me how defensive that they are about how, this isn't a real sequel, though. It's just a game using this same engine with the same playstyle in a different setting. Sounds like a sequel.
Yeah. It sounds, like I said, it sounds almost like a standalone expansion pack.
All I know is that I'm going to be buying it because I've always wanted to see Vegas wiped off the map.
All right. I just like Fallout, so.
But see, standalone expansion pack seems to indicate that this would be a smaller game. Is that what they're trying to tell me?
I don't know.
Is this not as full an experience as, like, something that would be called Fallout 4? I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird. This announcement seems much sooner than I thought it would have been. Like, I'm excited for more Fallout, even if it is Obsidian, who has kind of partially ruined at least one sequel to a successful franchise.
Hey. Yeah, hey, I said, I like to go towards you.
Didn't it not have an ending, though?
Yeah, it didn't have an ending. Well, it didn't have an ending. But
KOTOR 2 is one of those games where it's so much like the original, but just kind of not as good, right?
Well, they tweaked the gameplay. It was they made some improvements in some areas. Admittedly, some of the design was really fucking annoying where you had self-healing bosses, but outside of that, you know, it wasn't so bad.
They have kind of that on them, but then also, like, you know, keep in mind when Interplay kind of dissolved, or Black Isle, rather, like, a lot of the original Fallout teams, they either created Troika Games, which I don't even know if they're around, they made Arcanum, or they made Obsidian. So a lot of the guys who made Fallout 1 and 2 are still on this team.
See, I'm kind of over the whole, like, we need the original people thing. I mean, the people who made Diablo 1 went on to make what? Hellgate London?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but there's also, like, the precedent of Silent Hill Homecoming, which originally was Silent Hill 5, and then they changed it because they didn't feel confident.
It could just be Bethesda wants to maintain ownership over, like, we get the numbered games. It's like kind of like if Infinity Ward were to maintain just numbers, and then Call of Duty 3 was not 3, it was just like kind of World at War is.
See, but I kind of criticize the whole Call of Duty situation too. Things are just easier when you just have numbers.
Yeah, it just gets confusing.
And I mean, especially like in movies, I understand how it's kind of like. It's kind of looked upon like as sort of a negative if you get past 3 and it's like, oh, Spider-Man 4, well, that's kind of stupid. Like, people made fun of Rocky when it got to that point. But video games, you got things like Final Fantasy and, you know...
13.
Yeah, there's... So it's like not as...
Starts to sound like porn titles.
But it's not as much of a stigma in video games to have ridiculously long-numbered series going on.
Right.
I guess. You also can't put, like, a director's name on a video game and hope to have it sell.
Yeah, right, exactly. And like whenever they do try to do that, I don't even understand the point of it. When it's like
Bombs.
American McGee's, whatever.
Yeah, I still don't know who American McGee is, that he gets his name on the boxes.
I think he worked on Doom at one point.
Yeah, well, a lot of people worked on Doom at one point, so what?
And then they promptly ran all their names into the ground with Ion Storm.
Yeah. Whoops. All right, you want to get the music game stuff out of the way?
Yeah, I'll just not pay attention for a little bit.
Okay, well, first off, we have LEGO Rock Band has been formally announced after pretty much everyone figured it out. So, kind of like I said, the idea of this is a more kid-friendly Rock Band experience with, like, more, you know, tween was used in the press release, so that gives you an idea of where they're going with this. But they showed some of the songs, and somewhat upsetting to me is that the Final Countdown by Europe will be in this game, which I hope means it'll be made as DLC for the basic Rock Band experience. There's also some rumors that started flying about some different gameplay modes, one of which was, like, battling a robot with the power of rock.
What?
Man, I mean, it's for the kids.
This sounds like Guitar Hero 3 boss battle territory.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it from the perspective, like, it's not for... If you're playing Rock Band, keep playing Rock Band, but, like, you know, this is something that you can give to kids, and then they can be able to play Rock Band...
But it has songs in it that I won. It has the Final Countdown.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't see any reason why that won't be made as DLC for Rock Band 2.
I know, when it's Rock Band, it's like, oh, they get the benefit of the doubt. Well, they'll just make that DLC for Rock Band 2. Why would they make something DLC for Rock Band 2 so that you don't go and buy LEGO Rock Band?
Yeah, because they're not marketing this game.
Well, the AC/DC Rock Band thing never became downloadable content.
Well, the reason for that is because AC/DC has an exclusive distribution deal with Walmart, so they legally weren't allowed. That's why they did the whole hard drive download thing.
Weird. And what were you about to say, AJ?
I think that they're actually trying to push this game as this is a kid's product.
They're going to market it for everyone. They're going to market it for kids, but they're not going to do it at the expense of excluding the older demographics, just like with the other LEGO games.
LEGO Islands totally aimed at me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the LEGO Batmans and your LEGO Indiana Jones and your LEGO Star Wars, they have a kid's appeal to it, but, I mean, there's still a good amount of adults buying those games.
Well, yeah.
And what are you going to say? You think the DLC from Rock Band 2 is going to transfer to LEGO Rock Band?
No, I don't think it'll go that way. Because that's part of the design of this, is that the reason this is being made is for people who don't want their kids playing, you know, like Nirvana.
I just hope that White Stripes video is unlockable in it.
Which one?
The one, come on, the famous one that's made out of Legos.
Oh.
You don't know what he's talking about.
I had a massive brain fart.
Don't say you know what he's talking about. I don't know what he's... You don't listen to White Stripes.
No, I don't, but... Yeah, I still know that AJ. Music video.
Oh, AJ, not you.
No, well, I don't either, but...
There's something else I was going to say. Oh, like, I mean, just one final thing on the DLC thing. I mean, you know, like, you look at Rock Band Unplugged on the PSP... Everything that's coming in that will eventually be made as DLC.
But that's a very different game. That's pretty much a completely different thing there. I mean,
they did say there is a DS version of this coming, and no word on if it's going to use peripherals or how that'll play. So I'll be curious to see how that goes down too.
DS version, I imagine, is just going to be, I don't know. Even, I mean, especially with the DSi now, all those old Guitar Hero games with the DS don't even work anymore.
Right. We never heard anyone say anything about that. It just kind of happened.
I kind of just realized, I guess those don't work anymore, huh? Oh, well.
Just so they don't have to see any more of those goddamn commercials.
Oh, those are the worst thing ever. Alright, let's talk about the Beatles Rock Band, where it's looking more and more like there will, in fact, be three-part harmonies in the game.
Cool.
I think that's very cool.
Does that mean that you can have, does that mean there's seven players in the game, or what?
No, I think, it doesn't matter. It's either someone's holding a microphone or someone's playing a guitar with a microphone on a stand. So, in theory, yeah, I guess you could have seven people playing.
Oh.
Well, I guess six people, actually.
Right. Okay, yeah, right. But would it be really be six different avatars log in? Probably not.
No, probably just the four. I mean, it's just, the Beatles.
Right, right.
But, also, this past week, Paul McCartney was, doing a performance, and during one of the songs, they started playing footage from the game in the background, they kind of did it knowing that it would kind of virally spread out.
Right.
So you don't see, note highways or anything, it's just, the background visuals, but, look pretty neat.
Now, this, at first people kind of thought this wasn't going to be marketed as, the Beatles Rock Band, but it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you going to criticize this if DLC isn't transferable from Rock Band 2 to this game like you did with Guitar Hero Metallica?
I guess yes and no. I mean,
there's such a bias with you between the two. And I'm okay.
No, but I said I love Guitar Hero Metallica. I like that a lot. I wish just the general DLC worked in it, though, is my thing with that one.
Right. But you're not going to lay the same criticism to the Beatles Rock Band.
Because, and the only reason I am, is because it seems like they're going for a different gameplay experience with this one. It's not just Rock Band with different songs. It's a different game.
I'm hoping
that
so.
Shares some similarities with Rock. That's the way it seems. We don't know yet.
Yeah. I'm
willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because they haven't screwed me over yet. Is that fair?
They haven't screwed you over.
Yeah.
Because Guitar Hero screwed you over?
Well,
when was the last Guitar Hero game you even bought?
Well, I don't buy them because I play them at you guys' house. I'm like, these aren't as good.
Use guises. And
yeah.
Use guises.
Okay, well, I'll let you off the
I'm gonna
now
move on.
For use guises. That was pretty funny.
No, thank you. All right, let's do some DLC stuff. Broken Steel, the next Fallout 3 DLC pack, which will add more content and raise the level cap and remove the ending, is coming May 5th.
I said before,
800 Microsoft points.
Oh, only 800 is good. But I said before, isn't it funny that the feature is removes ending?
Yeah, well, it reworks the ending.
I guess so. I kind of like the original ending, though. But
that's my thing too. I do too.
And I kind of, I want to beat the game, and be able to continue the story, but I do kind of like the ending the way it was.
I mean, we'll see how exactly it plays out.
I'm kind of.
I don't want to say specifics because I don't want to spoil the ending, but.
Right.
You can read it if you want to go find that stuff.
I'm kind of glad I haven't played the other DLC yet, though, because now I'll get the level cap raised. And they say that it's going to take a while to get to level 30, supposedly.
Yeah.
So now I have these other missions to go do. What's that?
I was just going to say, I turn in my final presentation on May 5th, so my plan is to go give my presentation, come home, download this, and not sleep until I hit level 30.
Right.
Have fun with that.
I will.
I really think the level cap should have come with offers.
Yeah, I was watching today, Adam Sessler from G4 interviewed Todd Howard from Bethesda, and I forget who the second guy in the interview was, but they were talking about it, and they even acknowledged, they said they did kind of have this problem where a lot of people have said, you know, we're not buying Operation Anchorage in the Pit until Broken Steel comes out, so we can do that. And so they said, like, you know, they did think about, you know, maybe we should have done this sooner, but they wanted it to be with this pack, and they realized that was just going to be a consequence of it.
Right.
Because they could have just withheld the fact that there is a level cap increase until those two were already out, but, you know, they were forward with it, so that's nice of them, I guess.
Do you kind of lament that there's not going to be, like, a huge expansion for the game, though, in the vein of a...
like a Shivering Isle kind
of
thing.
Right.
Yeah, like, you know, because they said that they like the kind of Knights of the Nine style expansions for basically what they want to do from now on. I don't know if maybe they'll reconsider that position at all. Like, I think it would be cool. I don't know what it would entail. I mean, maybe in a way that's how you can almost think of Fallout Vegas only being even slightly bigger.
Right. I guess so.
Let's see, then we got some Halo Wars DLC called Strategic Options. Adds three new modes, Keep Away Mode, Tug of War, and Reinforcement. And it adds 100 new achievement points. We do not have a price or date yet. And the Killzone 2 DLC has been priced and dated April 30th for $5.99. What did I say, $7.99 last week?
I don't remember. did you say? I remember.
What, you don't listen to me?
What the Killzone 2 DLC cost.
I told you to remember because I wanted to predict it. And I was apparently too high if I did say $7.99, which I think I did. So, yeah, word. EA Sports will be bundling Motion Plus adapters with Tiger Woods and the tennis game, which the name's escaping me.
That's okay.
The tennis game that
speaks
no one's
gonna care about. Speaks well for it.
Yeah. But Tiger, which might be good.
Yeah,
but,
I'm hopeful for that, actually.
The catch is that the bundles will cost $10 more, so it'll be $59.99. Yeah. But you can still get the Tiger Woods by itself for $49.99.
It's kind of bothering me how these new games are just... It's Tiger Woods 10.
Yeah, I don't like the 10 thing either.
I'm like, what the heck is that?
I think 2010 would have been better.
These aren't the 10th installments.
But do you see one of the things they revealed is one of the modes that takes advantage of Wii Motion Plus in Tiger Woods 10 is they have frisbee golf in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it actually looked pretty cool.
Huh, interesting.
Let's see. Amazon has begun selling World of Goo codes, much like the XBLA codes. That's the only Wii title code they have now, but I expect more will come. That's good, because people's complaining of the Microsoft point system. I think it's even worse than the Wii and DSi, because $10 is the minimum, and nothing except N64 games cost $10, so you're always buying way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on the DSi, where a lot of the stuff is 200 points. Metal Gear Touch is now finished. They released the other half of it. So, you know, the price hasn't gone up, and if you had it before, you just download the update. Yeah. I don't know why they felt like they had to really get that game out in March.
Yeah,
like, honestly. Oh my god, we have a window to hit. Like, why not just finish the game and release it?
Who knows?
It's just a flash game. I mean...
Yeah, pretty much.
It shouldn't
I guess it's well-polished, but...
Okay, a very, very pretty flash game.
I got to play my friend's copy of it. It is fun.
Oh, yeah, you sure did? I didn't know you played it.
Yeah. In the same sense that a flash game is fun.
Right, right. I mean, well, yeah. But, I mean, a lot of iPod games aren't, you know, there's not that much to a lot of them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as fun as dinosaurs that shoot beams when they roar.
Right.
Oh, I've heard of that. I haven't played it.
You need to do that.
Like you put the Metal Gear name on something and people kind of have expectations for it, even if it is just an iPod game.
Right.
Unreasonable. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so people are calling this the end times. But after having previously put Bejeweled into WoW as a downloadable add-on, you can now get Peggle in WoW.
Yeah.
So that's like mixing crack with heroin.
Right.
So, you know, I can already imagine people, like, at the end of a raid, and, like, they defeat the boss, instead of rolling for loot, they play each other in games of Peggle. Because you can play, like, two players with people in the game, which is kind of neat.
Those poor Chinese people in net cafes.
I'm not going to say it. That's cruel. Okay, last thing. Okay, and the last thing I got, it popped up in Home on billboards, and then it was later confirmed. There will be some exclusive DLC to Batman Arkham Asylum on the PS3 that will allow you to play as the Joker in the challenge rooms. Huh. And they're wondering, they haven't said anything yet, they're wondering if there will be like a similar exclusive on the 360 version.
Right. That's a big DLC advantage for the PS3 for a change.
Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of weird. I wonder how would you play as the Joker?
Does it actually change, or is it like he just has analogs to all of Batman's moves? Is it just a
spawn? I hope not, because that's just really cheesy. It is free DLC, though, so it's not like it's going to cost anything.
Okay.
I feel like, though, like, to have a game where you actually do really play as the Joker would be really involving. It'd be cool if you could pull it off, though. It'd be kind of like a very advanced version of Spy versus Spy.
I was thinking Dungeon like Keeper, but yeah, Spy versus Spy would work.
I like the way he was in Mortal Kombat versus DC game. That was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, his fatality was great.
His fatality is great, but just his moves in general were silly.
Yeah. All right, that's what I got.
All right. Well, okay, then, let's get going for Game of the Year 1996. It's nice that we have Sword Guy with us, because then he can explain all of his own game selections when the time comes.
Yeah, right. There weren't quite as many obscure, awesome games this year, but there were some gems.
I think I did a good job last week.
Yeah, you were pretty good, except for that you skipped over the most important thing ever, which was Jack Brothers, the very first Shin Megaten game to come over here.
I know, I saw that, and I'm like, and I kind of, like, ended it. I was like, maybe I should interrupt them and go back to it. I'm like, we'll just move on. Maybe Sword Guy won't care. But
yeah, it's not that big.
Shoot, that's okay.
Let's get going. I only played it for about 5 minutes because I couldn't stand the eye damage.
any Shin Megami game automatically gets on your list, doesn't it?
Maybe. Yes.
All right. So, 1996, year of the Nintendo 64. Yep. We still got the 16-bit generation systems hanging around. Although now that I'm looking at my list, I don't see any Genesis games really. But
yeah.
Let's get to this. Getting PC gaming's big. First, we got Command & Conquer: Red Alert. This is still kind of in the earlier days of the genre. This was sort of it was kind of a sillier Command & Conquer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was also back in the day when FMV was merely cheesy and not quite incredibly cheesy like it is today.
It wasn't campy yet. It was like they were actually trying and it just came off as campy.
It wasn't ironically cheesy yet.
Yeah.
It's not quite, it's actually slightly more hilarious.
Next up, we have Crash Bandicoot, huh? How about that?
Sony's attempt at a
it's kinda,
mascot.
In retrospect, I only realized this whenever somebody else pointed it out to me, but it's really just Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, it kind
of
is.
Down to your monkey girlfriend collecting three icons of some dude's face. The level layouts are pretty similar.
Yeah.
I don't like it very much.
This was back in the day when, like, it was still considered important that every console had a mascot.
Yeah, I remember seeing interviews with the guys whose name I can't remember, of course, who were running Sony at the time, and all the interviews were like, where is the PlayStation's mascot? Where is the mascot?
I remember that.
Yeah. And, of course, eventually they just said, here.
Like, we don't need a mascot.
Yeah, we have our little PlayStation symbol. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm. Crash, he worked as a mascot really for a bit. I mean, the games were popular. They were, you know, fun.
I think part of that was that
it
worked as a mascot because they told you it was the mascot. Right. So you just kind of accepted it.
Mm-hmm. But then
he didn't earn his place as a mascot. We were told he was the mascot.
Right.
Well, but
Mario and Sonic were not the mascot.
But to our detriment,
Genesis.
We all accepted it. I mean, I remember EGM's 100th issue. I mean, they had all the characters on it, and like front and center were Mario, Sonic, and Crash Bandicoot.
Yep, of course.
And it was like, oh, come on. But, I mean, you know, it was like we had to be fair. But
he got better as he went along, at least.
Right, but...
Well, until he crashed.
That, the game was fun enough. I remember even thinking then it was like, this is a 3D game. And I was like, well, it's kind of a 3D game. Like, yeah. Comparing it to Mario 64 or something. But it was fun, it was popular, and they're still kind of around today, I guess. He's not what he once was, but he's around.
The new one wasn't bad. In fact, I think Fiendwagger liked it a lot.
Hmm. Well, in fact, I was listening to something recently. Apparently, a big seller in a lot of retro game shops is just the original Crash Bandicoot. That's like their number one selling game still.
Hmm. Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, next up we have the original Diablo. The first kind of, one of the first point and click hack and slash games.
That kind of used a lot of roguelike elements.
Right.
It was good, but I played way, way more Diablo 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I like this one. This one was cool, but Diablo 2 was really where I loved it.
And yeah, also I needed a run button, and I couldn't do that, so.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Screw that game.
Duke Nukem 3D, kind of the landmark FPS. I guess it was. I don't know.
You could shove money into hookers. That was pretty awesome.
To be fair, it did have a lot of interactive environment elements that we wouldn't see again for a long time.
Yeah,
like
that
the
was
fact that you could go up
point.
To the pool table and sort of play pool with the physics was actually pretty groundbreaking for the time.
Yeah. It didn't actually impact a whole hell of a lot, but hey.
Yeah, it was cool. It didn't impact gameplay. It was just there. So, you know, it was the progenitor to that, at least.
Sure.
I can't believe that this was... In 1996 was the last real Duke Nukem game.
Yeah. In 1997, they announced Duke Nukem Yeah.
Duke Nukem Forever. I just don't understand. How come, in the time that it's supposedly taken to make this game, like, we've had Half-Life 2, and they made expansions, and...
The entire Halo trilogy.
Right. Yeah, the entire Halo trilogy. Someone made Bioshock and Bioshock 2. Why... What could possibly be... I don't know. Whatever. Let's move on.
I just really desperately want to know what the budget for that game is. Especially the amount of coke drunk by the developers.
How much does that game need to make to turn a profit? Oh my god. Okay.
I think everybody in the world would have to buy it. Anyway.
Last week when we were talking about... Wipeout. I was saying my favorite PlayStation racing game was Jet Moto, which was released in 1996.
Now, the only problem is Jet Moto 2 was better and had all the tracks from Jet Moto 1 in it.
That is true, but I wanted to get Jet Moto in there for the love of the game. Next one is another favorite PlayStation game of mine, Jumping Flash 2, which I still have out and ready to play.
I love that game.
Kind of a bizarre precursor to Metroid Prime of all
Yeah, it was the first time that first-person platforming really worked.
Yeah.
Right.
Shockingly didn't suck.
No, I know. It was a lot of fun. Nights into Dreams came out for the Sega Saturn.
Everyone thought this was going to be like the Saturn's answer to Mario 64.
Yeah. Right. Well, I liked it, but...
A great game. It really kind of showed if you really tried... with the Saturn, what it was capable of, but very few developers are willing to put that much effort into it.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a beautiful game. Okay, so Pokemon didn't come out here until, 1998. But in 1996, Pocket Monsters was released in Japan. So here it is.
Right.
And what an important game, eh?
Yep.
Still going strong.
And I was
Hasn't changed all that much.
And I was at the perfect, 12-year-old age when Pokemon came out to be into it. So
I think it was slightly younger, but yeah.
Oh man, it was an amazing thing.
And it drew you in.
And people forget. I mean, it was a great game. It really was. I mean,
it's a very solid JRPG.
Right.
Hey, there's a JRPG I've beaten.
Oh please. Okay, let's find a JRPG. The new rule is a JRPG that wasn't made by Nintendo. How about that?
Shit.
There we go.
Hey, whoa! It was made by Game Freak.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have Quake. Which kind of makes Duke Nukem 3D look a little bad when you got Quake coming out in the same year.
Yeah.
Not only was Quake big, but when you eventually had Quake World released, and that's really when first-person online deathmatch games kind of started coming into their own, where it was more than just obscure, like IPX connections and dialing into each other. Like, it was an actual infrastructure for playing random groups of people online.
It was also the same time that I realized I'm not that great at FPSs. Whenever I was just lightning gun, lightning gun, lightning gun, lightning gun. over and over, and I'd just see nothing but the respawn screen.
Next up is Super Mario 64.
That's kind of important.
Yeah.
There are still games that have not learned lessons from that game that they should. Oh, especially at the time when you had everybody trying to copy that game. You had, like, Glover.
Bubsy 3D.
So awesome.
Yes. I just played this game a month ago. This game was amazing. It's still so much fun.
I could just still remember, like, the whole concept of analog control at that point was so foreign. When you were like, wait a minute, like, if I nudge just like a, like 2 degrees to the northeast, that translates. That's amazing. I could run in perfect circles. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can map out most of the level designs in my head right now.
Oh yeah,
totally. Fact that it was the first time anyone really tried a 3D platformer like that, and they nailed it. Yeah. Like, they got it exactly right.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, you don't see very many times, like the first instance. Like a lot of times we were talking before about games that are kind of, they were pioneers of a genre, but they're not the most famous example.
Yeah, like their sequel like really 2. Refined it.
Like, or just like Dune 2 was like the first RTS, and like, okay.
Right.
Like,
oh, Herzog Savai.
Yeah.
First RTS.
What was that?
Came out a little bit before Dune 2.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought it came out right after.
Yeah. Okay. But that's kind of being anal because nobody knows about that.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's sort of like MIDI Maze came out before Wolfenstein, but nobody gives a shit.
Right. But, I mean, here you have pretty much the first example, but I'm sure someone will be like, oh, there's some other game that was a 3D platform before it, but I don't know.
Jumping Flash 1.
But
kinda.
But the thing that Super Mario 64 did was, it was a three-dimensional game that actually had a camera system.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just first person or with a fixed third person camera.
And I love Jumping Flash, but Mario 64 kind of wipes the floor with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The other Mario game was Super Mario RPG.
I love that game.
It's such a good my first RPG, you know?
Yeah. I think it's the
kind of
first game I can think of with timed button presses, too.
Yeah, which kind of led some interactivity to the turn-based battles. Which a lot of people do now.
Because Square made the game, and it's very obviously a Square game when you play it. It's got
the same
kind of mechanics. But it's just a little easier. It's fun to play. It has good music again. Good stuff.
It has Gino in it.
It has Gino.
Gino.
I say Gino, too. I don't know why you're saying Gino.
I thought you always said Gino. That's why I say it.
I don't know what I say. No, I say Gino.
Yeah, I say Gino, too, but you always say Gino. I could have sworn we had some argument where you corrected me about this.
I don't even remember what side of the argument I'm on, though. That's weird.
All right, we'll say Gino, then.
I think I say Gino. I'm pretty sure I say Gino.
We'll go with Gino.
All right. So Team Fortress was also released, along with, that year Quake was.
It came out the same year as Quake.
Supposedly.
So that means in less than a year, they made that mod.
I guess so.
That's awesome.
I had no idea.
But keep in mind, maybe when it first came out, it was like just 2-4, but it was there.
That's fine. And we're still playing 2-4,
honestly. 2-4 is still... Games of 2-4 are still being played all the time. And kind of this last one I threw in there was Twisted Metal 2 came out, which I wanted to throw in because that was the best game in that series, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd find anybody who'd disagree with you.
Right. And, I think that was the one where you could knock over...
The Eiffel Tower, yes. One of my friends bought that off PSN. We just, like, spent all night playing that and knocking down the Eiffel Tower.
Nice. And there's that one character who was just a dude with his arms attached to two giant wheels, and I think he was just screaming in agony the whole time.
Yeah, I loved playing as that guy.
Some of the character design was very twisted in that game.
I just pictured
all
this
the character design was ripped out of my out of the margins of my high school notebook.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy's just driving around, totally exposed, screaming the whole time while other people are shooting rockets and shit out of their cars.
Yeah.
And he's just like, "What the hell am I doing?" oh my god. Okay. So those are mine. Sorg, why don't you run us down your list of more obscure but great games.
All right. Well, this one's not so obscure to us, at least. Blood Omen: Legacy of Kain.
Oh, word.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what nearly made me become a goth kid, but not quite. I managed to resist temptation.
So, good job.
Yeah. I've thankfully avoided the cape. Anyway, Descent 2, which is just more Descent, but good. Dragon Force, which is not actually a crappy band, but it's a strategy game for Saturn. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of this, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know much about it.
Much bigger armies. It's on a larger scale than a lot of other tactical games. It looks really nice. It's hard to go back to just because the interface isn't so good, but, you know, it was cool. Not a whole lot to say about that, though. Harvest Moon.
Oh, that's good. The one I played was... I played Harvest Moon 64 a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's all the same game.
Right, right. Pretty much.
With, like, one new way to marry the farmer's daughter, but...
Right.
But, yeah, this is also notable just because it was before the series was incredibly tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Marathon Infinity.
This is the third one. Like 10 people just went, no, asshole.
Yeah, honestly, even me knows nothing about this series.
A lot of people argue that between like which is the best one. Most people say 2 is. I tend to flip back and forth between 2 and Infinity just because Infinity had the best level design. And it was just all this, like, really, really complex stuff where you're juggling, like, your air and your health and just layers upon layers of looping levels. The only problem is that, story-wise, it gets really, really fucking complex to the point where I couldn't understand it if I wasn't high. It doesn't have any external narrative structure, so... everything is within the game, and you kind of need at least like some voice telling you what the hell is going on at some point, because otherwise you're just like, why am I back in this kind of weird electric level thing that I keep on going to? But it was interesting. It was sort of like a Donnie Darko shooter, just in that you kept on playing down all these paths that were the wrong way, and each time you got to see things go horribly wrong in a slightly different way. So you would time travel back, and then you'd go and see a different way, and a different way, and a different way, and eventually you'd finally get it right. But it was interesting. Hmm. Where was I? Oh, Mega Man 8 came out.
Mega Man 8, I loved at the time.
Yeah.
Hey, Bass! Why must we fight? We are not enemies!
I love
that voice acting. Mega Man?
I love the fact that Elmer Fudd was in there, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a very pretty game though.
It had the kickball. That was so random.
Yeah,
it was cool though.
It also had Clown Man.
Yes,
I think it is a bit underrated though as a Mega Man game.
Yeah, it was highly rated at the time. Then there was a bunch of backlash, and now it's slightly climbing back up. So.
Right, people are kind of crapping on it. I think people are forgiving it now because of just the goodwill of Mega Man 9. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Anyway. Metal Slug, the first one, came out.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I always thought of it as being a bit earlier, but...
Yeah, me too, but I guess when I think about how good it looks, I should probably have placed it more towards 1996.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, like, great-looking, but the animation's impressive, at least.
Well, it looks pretty good. Like, as a 2D game.
Right.
And by the same developers, Neo Turf Master... Or, Neo Turf Masters, rather.
What's that?
Is a golf game by the guys who developed Metal Slug.
Random.
Oh. Yeah. It's actually pretty good, but... Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say about it other than it looks good, it's fun, you don't have to use your brain too much. But, yeah. And I put these two on here just for Pichu, The Neverhood and Afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
Afterlife is great.
Yeah. I actually like The Neverhood, too, but I don't think anybody likes it quite as much as he does.
I have a copy of it. It doesn't really work anymore.
Right. That's too bad. Because I never really got to play it.
I remember it being pretty hard for an adventure game, but it had that really cool style.
Mm-hmm.
But Afterlife is fantastic. That was one of my favorite city-building games ever.
Yeah. It had a... I liked its sense of humor. Just in that...
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah. It was so dark. Because, you know, the conceit of it was you controlled heaven and hell at the same time. So you had two cities, which was kind of complex. But so, like, you built up your rewards for the seven good deeds and the seven deadly sins. You had punishments. I remember just... One of the things you could build for people who were, oh my god, what the hell's it called, when you, you know, the people who...
Avarice, lust.
Lust, thank you, Jesus. The one of the punishment buildings you could build for people who've committed lust was a dark void. And then you read the description, and they're like, we don't really know why, but we've discovered that an apt punishment for people who are lusty is to just dip them into a void. I'm like, weird. Okay, let's build some of those.
Man.
And then you could type in the code where the Death Star came and destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And your little advisors were like, oh, we're so sorry it has to end like this, but we're leaving now. Mm-hmm. And then the Death Star just destroyed heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss when Star Wars made more of a cameo in LucasArts games, as opposed to just being all they ever made games about.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
what's next?
Parappa the Rapper?
Did I not mention that?
You did not mention that.
It's on my list, and I skipped over it. I'm sorry.
I liked Parappa the Rapper. I hated Jammer Lammy.
Go back and play Jammer Lammy. It's better than you remember.
Okay. Now, there was the one song in Jammer Lammy where you were in the airplane with the guy, and he kept getting hit on the
really
head.
Hard.
Yeah, it pissed me off, because there was no rhythm to it, and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. I've heard from... There are some people who are crazy fans for that, though.
Yeah. But, you know, kick, punch, it's all in the mind. It was classic stuff.
Yeah.
It was a really cool art style, too. The whole, like, everyone was, like, made of paper. It was really neat.
Aren't the same developers making a marching band game now, though?
They made it, and it came out, and I saw at least one review for it that was absolutely abysmal.
Uh-oh.
It was like a 3 or something. And not out of 5.
How sad.
Right.
Okay. Panzer Dragoon 2?
Yeah, Panzer Dragoon's wag.
You skipped that?
Well, come on. What, you're going to call... I mean, it's fun and all. I was
gonna
it was amazing.
It was awesome.
It's cool. But, I mean, the only thing that made it better than Panzer Dragoon 1 was the kind of neat sort of progression of a growing up dragon, but it didn't have the wow factor that Panzer Dragoon 1 had.
It was still good, though.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
still cool.
Let's see. Radical Dreamers? Actually,
What's
this is
that?
The year that Square started, like, just crapping out all their last SNES games. They, like, had a bunch in the pipeline, so they just rushed them all out.
Was Radical Dreamers that text
Yeah, it's
RPG?
The text adventure RPG sequel to Chrono Trigger, kind of. It's more
right.
Chrono
what?
Cross.
Right. Did you never heard about this age? A lot of the story elements from this are actually used in Chrono Cross.
I have no idea this exists.
It's like
they made a text RPG
reality.
For the SNES?
Yeah.
A lot of
Whose idea was that?
Apparently Masato Kato. But the guy who wrote it. But, yeah, it's shockingly not suck. I played through a translation of it.
A lot of people argue for this as the real kind of sequel to Chrono Trigger as opposed to Chrono Cross.
Well, I guess. It also, I mean, it doesn't have a whole hell of a lot in common with Chrono Trigger. It has more in common with Cross. Honestly.
Right, well, it's got a character named Kid and...
Yeah. You're playing
Magus
as Surge.
Magul.
Magul,
who I
yeah.
think was Magus. I don't know. I read a plot...
It's so confusing.
It is confusing as hell.
Because normally I don't think of Chrono Trigger as like being crazy depths of deepness or
right.
anything.
But the problem with Chrono Cross is it's kind of depressing because it's just like, yeah, everyone's dead from Chrono Trigger. I'm like, that's nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
all right.
Let's see. Saturn Bomberman, which is the best Bomberman with the best music and online play if you actually could afford that. I couldn't.
And it had, what, like 10 players
yeah.
if you had enough multitasks?
Yeah, but you can't. If you really wanted to play as a dot, you could play that. Soul Edge, which started Soul Calibur, whatever.
I'm surprised that actually came out this early.
Yeah, which I think they slightly enhanced it for the PlayStation, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's a boob joke in there somewhere, but I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, back then they were slightly more modest. Kinda. Anyway, I completely forgot, before I was saying that, I mentioned that Square was crapping out all their games, So this year you also had stuff like Bahamut Lagoon, which was supposed
to... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which looks insane. It's probably, like, one of the best-looking Super Nintendo games, and it just looks nuts. It outclasses a lot of Saturn games in terms of just graphical fidelity.
I feel like I played, like, a ROM for this or
something.
Yeah,
somebody did
a
fan translation. I played a bit of it. And it was originally supposed to be Final Fantasy Tactics, just from what I've read. But they didn't think it was... It was more Fire Emblem than FF Tactics. They also put out Treasure of the Rudras, which is maybe not quite so good, but looks incredibly pretty. Some other Front Mission games. Who cares? Star Ocean came out.
The original.
Which was crazy just because it was a Super Nintendo game with voice acting. And a lot of voice acting.
You know, I'm looking at a video of the Spirit Chaser game, and man, this looks a lot like a Final Fantasy game.
Spirit Chaser?
Yeah. Wait, not Spirit Chaser. I don't know. I think that's
Bahamut Lagoon.
Rudra's Treasure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It does look a lot like
it. The video is called Spirit Chaser. I don't know why.
Oh, it's probably like some boss or something.
Right, but this looks a lot like a Final Fantasy game, just the battle system.
Yeah, it's very similar. Let's see.
Man, this is animated really well for a Super Nintendo game, though.
Yeah, it's crazy. Where was I? Tetris Attack. The first multiplayer puzzle game that I can think of that was really awesome. Mostly because you could just be a real dick in it. Twinkle Star Sprites, which takes the same idea as Tetris Attack, except uses it in a shooter. So whenever you shot enemies, they would turn into like junk shit and bounce around the other person's screen. Yeah, it was Neo Geo games, so nobody played it. Wipeout 2097, which is the best Wipeout.
Ganon, I never played a lot of Wipeout back in the day.
Yeah.
I always said Wipeout XL is the best one.
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
It's just on Wikipedia was as 2097.
Okay.
I have no idea why the hell they changed it. House of the Dead.
Right, the first House of the Dead.
Nice and cheesy, just the way I like it.
Right. I liked 2, personally.
Yeah, 2 is better.
That was the Dreamcast one.
Mole Mania. A very obscure Shigeru Miyamoto game for Game Boy.
Really?
Yeah. It was really, really good, actually. But naturally, because it was Game Boy, nobody paid attention to it.
Yeah, and it was pre-Pokemon Game Boy, when Pokemon made the Game Boy relevant again.
Yeah. But it was really good. It was kind of puzzly. It had some really cool boss fights. You know, it was cool. I had something else here. Oh, right. Revelations Persona. The very first Persona game.
Okay, I was about to say, is this just Persona?
Okay. Yeah. Persona came out. Yeah, at first they didn't do the Shin Megami Tensei thing over here. They called it Revelations. Which actually makes slightly more sense just because there's not a whole lot of rebirthing of goddesses anymore in the games. But what can you do? Anyway.
Is that what Shin Megami Tensei means?
Yeah, it means rebirth of the true goddess or something, because in the first game it was about your girlfriend was like the reincarnation of Izanami or something.
Oh, there you go.
It was kind of weird, and then she was kidnapped by, I think, it was either Set or Lucifer.
I like the video you sent me of the penis monster.
Oh, yeah, that was hot. That was awesome.
Yeah, KA rating, though. That's nice.
Yeah. It has, yeah, the final boss is named Pandora, and it has a penis made out of an ass. So
what?
Yeah, the glands of the penis is made of an ass. It's so awesome.
Alright.
Yeah. But the entirety of the game kind of, sorta, confusingly takes place inside one chick's mind. It's hard to explain, just because the idea is, at some point or another, backgrounds go all psychedelic and shit, and you find out that, something's going on with an evil corporation, as all, PS1 RPGs have, and, they're, like, trying to create a world where everything is ideal or some such garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And... But at least there are original elements to the story where you, like, fight the demonic versions of Mary and use the chick. You go into her brain. You see the Pandora, who's like a manifestation of her psychosexual problems. It's interesting. It's also hilariously low budget, just because they probably didn't want to create sprites of certain characters walking. So what they do is they have the screen fade out and then fade back in, and they'll just be across the screen.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's so gorgeous.
Right.
The entire thing just kind of reeks of cheapness, but it's interesting, and the PSP remake slash port thing looks pretty good, just because they're redoing some of that sprite walking thing. They also do...
That's good.
New feature, sprites walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
New feature, your city map doesn't look like it's made out of Legos.
There you go.
And doesn't run at 15 frames a second, despite looking like it's made out of Legos and looking worse than the original Star Fox.
So, you got anything else?
That's about it. I also have... Well, I have Battlecruiser 3000 AD, just because...
Oh, whatever. That game's still not done.
Derek Smart, come on.
Oh, he'll it's the
fight
future.
To death with you. Yeah,
it's
he'll
the
argue
future.
That's done.
All right. Well, let's hit up the Twitter account, see what some people said. MJ,
oh, there's more.
Yeah. MJ Pylon. Is it Pylon? Pylon?
I'd say Pylon.
I say
yeah,
Pylon.
There's one L, right?
Yeah.
I just...
But,
well, I'm thinking of StarCraft.
Well, first he says that the answer is Mario 64, without a doubt. Then he says other suggestions, if he must, include Mario RPG, Diablo, and Donkey Kong Country. Three. Yeah, he loved that series. Beige wanted to chime in. He said Quake, Duke Nukem, Resident Evil, Super Mario 64, Super Mario RPG, Masters of Orion 2, which he originally wrote down as M-O-O-2. I'm like, what the hell is
Mu-2?
So I had to go look up, and I was like, okay, Masters of Orion. Then Tomb Raider, Diablo, Red Alert. I guess I kind of forgot Tomb Raider. But
yeah, I was going to say, we shouldn't just gloss over Tomb Raider. It's kind of a big deal.
It was kind of important, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really like it much at the time, and my opinion of the series still isn't much higher.
Yeah.
I liked it a bit.
8-Bit Hack says, Chrono Trigger for 19... Well, he kind of wanted to go back. He said, for 1995, referring to the last show, he would have picked Chrono Trigger. But for 96, his choice would be Mario 64. His runner-up for this year would be Quake. And then Drew Robbins just said, Duke Nukem 3D, !! Okay, so someone try to tell me why it shouldn't be Mario 64.
Not me.
I can't argue against it, but I think honorable mention should probably go to Pokemon, since that's like the best-selling game of ever.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking the only thing like I would even consider would be Pokemon, ultimately I would choose Mario 64.
Yeah, Mario 64.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah. And Mario 64 is so just big watershed thing. Yeah, can't speak English.
That's okay.
Yeah, but Pokemon was really big and watershed in its own right, but in another way, it's pretty much like heavily sandwiched.
It was a slow burn, though, too. It's not like it came out and like the world was like, boom, like...
Yeah, and it was also
it
just like...
Just kept growing and growing.
Super heavily sanitized version of... Shin Megami Tensei and Dragon Quest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny how, like, the new Pokemon game really isn't very different from this Pokemon game, and even Mario Galaxy isn't entirely different from Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
Just refined.
Right, so
I think I might have to get back into Pokemon, because I found my new favorite. His name is Spoink.
Is that the one who's just a spring?
Yeah, he's a pig on a spring with a little ball on his head. He's so adorable. What? I just want to eat it.
Okay, then. So, Mario 64. That makes Mario the first franchise to be represented 2 times in our list. How about that?
Yeah.
Zelda will make it for 98?
Nope.
No. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
That's my vote.
Personally, Wind Waker I love, so I don't know. We'll see. So, 86 was the original Zelda. 87 was Metal Gear. Maybe one of the Metal Gear Solids will make it on the list. I don't know. 88 was Mega Man 2. 89 was SimCity, 90 Super Mario World, 91 Street Fighter 2, 92 is Star Control 2, 93 was Myst, 94 is Final Fantasy 6, and 95 Warcraft 2, and now 96 is Super Mario 64. Isn't that something that there is 6 years between Mario World and Mario 64?
Yeah.
Because there weren't really any Mario games in between that. I mean, like,
Yoshi's
Island.
Yoshi's, yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird that they're like, they like decided not to like make Super Mario Brothers World 2 really. I mean, I know that's what you should call it. You think they would have just, you know, done another reskin, and then I don't know why, but they decided not to. It's just weird what franchises Nintendo chooses to abuse and then which ones not to abuse.
Oh, well, they abused Mario plenty.
Yeah, you had Mario Paint and Mario's Missing and Hotel Mario. Well, that was developed by somebody else, but...
Right. Hotel Mario. Yeah, I can't believe you brought up Hotel Mario.
I've just seen so many YouTube clips, it's burned into my mind.
Right. Okay, so why don't we get to the quiz now, then?
All right.
Inspired by the games of 1996, here we go. Number one, what was the name of the town in which Diablo 1 took place?
Tristram, right? Hang on.
You're right, you got it, don't worry. All right, number two, what is the name of the main character from the Jumping Flash series?
Oh, it's like, just like Robit or something, right?
Yeah, it's Robit.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Question number three. Which Pokemon is Pokedex number 8?
Shit. Okay, hang on. It starts with Venusaur, Ivysaur, Venusaur. That's three. Then it's Squirtle.
So it's probably Charmeleon?
Hang on. Squirtle, then...
Warturtle, then Blastoise, then Charmander, then Charmeleon.
Yeah, so Charmeleon.
I'm sorry, it's Warturtle.
You got your Charmanders
and your Squirtles mixed up.
Drat.
Yeah, everyone remembers that Bulbasaur's number one, but...
Yeah.
After that, it's all over.
Right. Because he was mine, I knew that.
Question four. Name the two human children from Knights.
Chris? Wait, no, hang on. Hey, Elliot and... It's Elliot and... Is it Claire? Yeah.
Yep.
It's Elliot and Clarice.
Ah!
Sorry. I cannot give that to you.
Who names their kid Clarice?
Yeah, honestly.
Dumb people.
Number five. Dumb people. I like how I barely heard you say that as if you muttered it to yourself. Question five. Name the villain from Super Mario RPG.
Oh, it's that giant sword.
Yeah.
What's
Smithy?
His name? Yeah.
That is correct. Smithy.
Good job.
All right, bonus question. Parappa is Japanese for what?
It's Japanese.
I had no idea it was Japanese.
I thought it just had rap in the title.
Just say dog.
Yeah.
No, well, paper thin.
Damn it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Well, all right. You got 3 points, I think.
Can we get 3.5? I got Elliot, right?
Oh, please. There's no halves.
Come on.
There are no halves, Asguy. Just halves and halves not.
Sometimes there are. You give me halves.
I guess that's true. Okay, whatever. We're done. You lose. Yeah. You lose. Good day, sir.
Who played some games?
What? I don't know. Why don't you go first, AJ?
Okay. I have a bunch of things to talk about.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Let's get it out of the way.
Okay, well, here, one thing you and I could both talk about, I guess, is a thing. We both got DSIs.
Oh, that's true.
Woo!
I like my DSI. I tell you what, people were saying, like, the kid knows that the screen is bigger. I notice that the screen is
a good
deal bigger.
I'm sure if you hold them up to a DS Lite, but I can't do that. I did extensive trade-ins to get my DSI.
They look bigger to me. I mean, I don't even...
Yeah,
it's
but...
It's a big deal.
So as a result, I play more Henry Hatsworth, which, you know, is still good. And I've been hitting Chrono Trigger very hard the last few days. I just got to the point where you're in 65 million BC and Lavos falls from the sky. Like, I just beat the giant Dark Tyrannosaur on the bridge.
So and, is my efforts to shame you into finally beating this game working?
Yes. Well, it's just kind of funny. I sent Mike a text message the other day. It's like, Chrono Trigger's amazing. Your response is, no kidding. I could just hear your sarcasm like dripping out of my phone as
I read
that.
I get this text message. I'm like, what the hell is this? If I wasn't more tired, I would be like, yeah, it's great. Did you hear about this other game? It's called Mario. it's awesome.
Yes,
Tetris is pretty
hilarious.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's, oh man.
Well. So with the DSIs until October, you get 1,000 free Nintendo points, and I've been kind of holding off on it until this week they released for 500 points that I got is Dr. Mario Express, which is, you know, it's Dr. Mario. It's pretty sweet. I wish there was multiplayer.
Does it have the awesome music?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
I picked it I picked it up too, and I remember when I was young, I sucked at Dr. Mario. But there's a lot of games that I sucked at when I was young, so I was hoping I'd be better. I am not any better at Dr. Mario.
I'm a little better, but not by much. At Dr. Mario. I tried to do the versus CPU mode and got trounced.
I did well in solo mode.
I'm
kind of used to like the hand holding puzzle games, like Puzzle Quest and Henry Hatsworth, where it's not really very hard puzzle stuff.
Right.
This is hard.
Let's see. Then I got two new, one XBLA game, one XNA game. I got, after playing the demo, I played Load Runner, which released this week on XBLA, which Load Runner is a series, is something I managed to completely miss, even though there's been like a hajillion different versions. But this is a good game. I mean, this like taps into these gamer reflexes that you just don't use anymore, and almost kind of in the same way Mega Man 9 did, where you have like these spatial puzzles you need to figure out, like how you're just going to maneuver this environment to get these gold pieces. Then you got these enemies chasing you, and you can't jump, so you have to either climb or swing from these, or not swing, but like work your way across overhead rope ladders, climb up ladders, and the only way you can avoid the enemies is you can shoot the tiles that are next to you on the ground, as long as they're breakable, left or right. So you have to trap the enemies like that. And it's just, oh, this is really fun. It's hard. It's really hard. But it's really, really fun. And the XBLA version has a level editor. You could go and download other people's levels. So there's a lot of replay in it, too.
I heard this one was sort of like a Pac-Man Championship Edition thing, where they were like taking some liberties with it and, you know, trying to take what was cool about it and make it into a bigger thing.
No, I think it's more like what they did with Biocommando Rearmed. Really, it's still the original game. It just has 3D graphics now. It's like I said, I can't say this with certainty because I never played the original, but that's what I understand it to be, and it's how it seems. It's really good. Then I finally got around to playing the demo for it and bought it because it's only 200 Microsoft points. It's a game called Groove that is on the XNA Creators Club thing. It's a twin stick shooter. Just like Geometry Wars, but it's everything you do is tied into the music in a way very similar to Rez, where the way it kind of cheats a little bit is like you shoot something and it turns from like whatever color to white, so it's effectively dead and it won't blow up until its musical cue comes for it to blow up. But, you know, everything affects the music in these layers. So your gunshots are like little techno beats. The one enemies blow up, they're these little low-pitched, like, bass beats. The other things are drum beats, the others are trumpets. And, like, the way the music layers is really cool. The only thing I hate is, like, I really just want to play, like, a free play mode. And there is one, but you can't unlock it until you get the top score, which is, like, 3,800 points, which I was unable to do last night. So I'm going to try that again today. But I really just want to unlock that mode and just play with it. But for $2.50 or 200 Microsoft points, it's totally worth it, and everyone should check it out. Mike, what have you played?
Well, first off, I just noticed that I got a new follower on Twitter, Henry Hatsworth.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yeah, just today.
Huh. Wonder what this is. I guess if you tweet, it's probably one of those things where when you tweet about Henry Hatsworth, you suddenly find yourself being followed by him.
Right.
I approve. Oh, that brings me to 70 now, too. That's cool. Nice. Okay, so what have I been playing? Well, I picked up, first off, I beat Henry Hatsworth.
Good job.
Which, apparently the game's very hard, so I'm pretty proud of myself. And it is hard, so. I'll tell you what I like best about the game. The game has some sweet boss fights. It really does.
Well, apparently, the thing people are bitching about with the later boss fights is, and the developer admits this, they didn't really Q&A them, so they didn't really tweak them to see if they're, like, doable by humans. So apparently you're just a freak.
What do you mean? To see if they're doable by humans? I did it.
Well, good job. You're a freak.
Wait, come on. Oh, come on. They are not that hard.
I haven't gotten there yet, but that's what other people are saying.
Oh, for crying out loud. You know me, AJ. How game is a hard, really, if I can beat it?
How game is a hard?
Okay.
Like I said, you're a freak.
How hard is a game, really, if I can beat it, though? Seriously.
It's got a decent clip to it, but not insurmountable.
It's not that hard. It's just hard enough. Like I can't beat like Ninja Gaiden.
It's just funny though, because when you look at this game, it looks so innocent.
It's funny to me,
Henry Hatsworth, and the puzzling. You know, like, oh, that's so cute. It's got a pun. It's on the DS. He's a little British dude. He's from T-Land.
Right.
This is gonna be a fun little game. And you play the first few levels, you're like, oh, isn't this enjoyable?
Yeah, it's
and then,
really
like,
simple.
10 minutes later, you see the same person, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right around like World 3, especially the difficulty just begins to escalate astronomically. But I mean, it was a great game. It was a much better game than I was even expecting. But you know, it's hard, sure, but like, I don't know. You know, a lot of people were saying Mega Man 9 was impossible too. I didn't think that game was all that hard either, so I don't know.
I did have to cheese my way through the Yellow Devil fight.
Well, the Yellow Devil is always a hard part, but, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so so I beat that, so I wanted a new DS kind of game. So I wanted a new DS game to play, so I got GTA Chinatown Wars.
Impressions.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, it really is a pretty full GTA game, but on the DS.
Do you see yourself continuing to play it, like, a month from now?
Well, depends if I beat it. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I mean, it's one of those things where I never know, with GTA especially. I think this has an advantage over other GTA games, because I can play it in short bursts, whereas with GTA 4, I want to play it in short bursts, but I don't want to go through all the trouble of loading it up and all that crap and loading it just to play it for 10 minutes, you know?
Right.
And dealing with dudes who will constantly call you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't have to deal with that crap. And it's kind of funny because, like mini games in GTA 4 just annoy me because, like, what do I want mini games in an Xbox game for? But mini games in a DS game, that's, you know, that's to be expected. So it's more when I'm doing a tattooing mini game where I'm, you know, literally filling in lines and tattooing people, that's kind of cool. And I'm doing a mini game where I have to make Molotov cocktails by, you know, getting the gas pump and putting it into a bottle and stuff. That's kind of cool. You know, it's just little things like that. They're fun. And the whole thing works really well from the kind of top-down viewpoint. They kind of align the car a little bit for you to the road just to help you out a bit with stuff like that. It, you know, it's all working really well.
And I understand it. Like, I don't know how much you remember from GTA 4, but I guess it's the same city layout. It's still Liberty City.
Right, yeah. Just from the map I saw, that's like the same city. That's cool. Plus, like, the cutscenes aren't as long and drawn out now, and they're all text-based, so it's easier to skip things. It's easier to restart missions when you fail. You just push select, and you restart them. There's even checkpoints in the middle of the missions themselves, which is nice. And shooting's easy. And, you know, the whole thing is just, it's not really GTA Lite,
GTA Mini. GTA Fun Size.
Yeah, and I kind of prefer that. Although, even
same candy bar, just not as big.
Delicious.
But even still, this seems like a big game. It's just not obnoxiously big in some places, you know? Like, I don't have to go bowling, you know, because I don't have to. And the whole bottom screen is kind of this PDA menu thing, which is really neat.
Well, I understand, from what I remember when the game first came out, everyone kept saying to make sure you turn on the GPS on the screen or something.
Why?
It's better.
Okay. I also...
You should do that.
I've also gone to the drug dealing minigame. That's amusing. It's not really it's not really a minigame as much as it is like a metagame. It's like there's this whole other thing of like buying drugs and selling them to people for a profit depending on which person is selling, which person is
It's just
buying.
Like in like the old Space Sims where you had to figure out which Starport was selling the random ore for
right.
the
it's
most.
It's a lot like Spore's kind of funnel thing. Where
yeah.
Like, yeah, it, but you know, with drugs. And it's weird because like, you know, I was like, oh, this is. I knew that this was GTA on the DS, and it got an M rating, but I still wasn't really expecting it to be so GTA-y. But no, you know, there's F bombs and, you know, people getting shot up and killed horribly, and I'm selling cocaine and heroin. So
does the story blatantly kind of contradict itself? Because it's not GTA unless it does that.
No, yeah,
you know. They're not trying as hard to make this character, like, endearing, which is working out for me. Because that was my problem with GTA 4, was like, oh, Niko Bellic is such a nice guy, really.
Let's mow down some random dudes in an alleyway.
Right. If my character acts like an asshole in the cutscenes, then I don't care so much. You know, I'll play a bad person, I don't care. But don't make me play as a bad person who's got this, like, oh, he's really a good guy bullshit thing. Like, I can accept that to a degree, but... Like, if I'm just mowing down innocent people, no. That's retarded.
And it's so incongruous with what they're telling you to do.
Right, exactly. But the, I don't know, it's been really cool so far, so I've been enjoying that. Did another Resident Evil 5 play session with Beige. We're getting very close to the ending. We only got about a couple more sub-chapters to hit up. And then I'll get my awesome hard mode achievement. That'll be sweet. It's kind of fun, because Indy kind of jumped in with us and, our kind of Xbox Live party. He was talking to us Although he was telling me lies about achievements that just didn't exist. At one point, he made me buy a rocket launcher to do something, and it didn't do anything. So that was $10,000 wasted. Thanks a lot, Indy.
Sure, he wasn't just messing with you?
I don't know. I think he's... Personally, I think he's confused, but I don't know. We'll see. I believe him. I don't know. I think it was just harder than what he was making it out to be. I don't want to get into more details about that because of spoilers. Shoot, what else did I play? I mean, I've been doing more Rhythm Heaven, which is still fun. Yeah, I'm good. Let's move on.
Okay.
Sword Guy, what did you play?
You know, I haven't been playing a whole lot. A friend of mine downloaded, what was it, the Resident Evil 5 multiplayer pack on PSN or PS3.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
How's that?
And I checked it out mostly out of intellectual curiosity. I can now understand why it's only a 5-meg download, because there's not a single new asset in that game. It is the Mercenaries maps, except you just have multiple people on it. They didn't create any new animations for when a person's getting shot, so it's really not satisfying to shoot someone. You don't even have any indications that you're hitting them other than, like, maybe a slight flinch. Even whenever you shoot them with a shotgun at, like, point blank. And also, you still have to point, they're pumped, like, tons of lead into them to kill them.
Right, so it's sounding like your impressions aren't entirely favorable.
Yeah, it's just kind of boring. Which is why I'm glad he's a sucker and bought it instead of me.
Yeah, there you go.
We also played Burn Zombie Burn.
Oh, that one. People keep talking about this.
It's actually pretty good. It's sort of like Smash TV and Zombies Ate My Neighbors, but not quite as good as either one of them, but still not bad. You know, you just have the waves of zombies in one single arena, so it's not. There's no real level level progression. It's not. It doesn't really go anywhere, but, you know, it's fun to kill, like, a couple minutes, especially if you have friends. Let's see, what else? It wouldn't be complete if I didn't bring up another Mega 10 game.
Of course.
Yeah, I figured I could just skip out on sending you the email about it next week. So I was playing Soul Hackers, which is the second Devil Summoner game that came out in 1997. And that one's really interesting because it's a cyberpunk Shin Megami Tensei game. It starts off, you're a hacker, you're just, some dude sends you threats that he's going to steal your soul or some such garbage. By the way, I'm playing through this entire thing in Japanese using walkthrough, so if I'm kind of vague on details, that's why. And I've already played through a good portion of it, but the only fact I could find was kind of incomplete and vague. But anyway, at some point or another, your girlfriend gets possessed by an AI named Nemissa or some such. All the demons are like cyber demons and some such garbage. But it's really interesting. It's also cool just because it's about where Kazuma Kaneko, their artist, kind of hit his niche, his sort of vaguely realistic, very pale people with eyelashes style. And it has some really awesome art. It's kind of hard here. I'll just...
Link.
Yes. I'm sure everybody listening to this will appreciate that link.
Visuals are always good for that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hey, there's half-naked girls.
Yeah, that's hot.
One who's kind of all naked.
Yeah, the one with the white hair is Nemissa. The one with the brown hair is Hitomi, your girlfriend. Anyway.
You got a hot girlfriend.
Who dresses like she's about to go to the Special Olympics. Until,
until she decides to not dress at all.
Yeah. Well, Hitomi, or Nemissa, like, has better taste and decides to get a slinky leather cat suit for her, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But it's interesting. It's kind of cool. I really wish they would remake it and then translate it so I could play it in not moon language. but, you know, it toned down a lot of the elements of the stupid bullshit loyalty system of the last game, so demons won't randomly leave your party. It's just a really cool, interesting game. Oh, and also it has Native American-style vision quests, where you you use that to figure out what's going on with the mysterious dudes running this company, because, like I said, every 32-bit RPG has an evil company.
Yes, of course.
And so you go on vision quests where all the characters horribly die at some point or another. And
I'm gonna make an RPG where you're the CEO of a company and you're a good guy.
That's sort of I'm thinking of there's that Holy Invasion of Privacy Badman game coming out. That's sort of like that. Well, you play as like the evil overlord, and you like build an ant farm with a bunch of heroes in it, and you have to like keep them out of your base. It's sort of like a new Dungeon Keeper, except for PSP. That one looks really cool.
Cool.
But interesting stuff.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I want to say I played something else, but I can't remember it. And if I can't remember it, it can't be that worth talking about. So
I remembered something.
Oh God, what?
No, okay, so one of the games I was never allowed to talk about, but, like, 1UP just blew the cover off it, so I'm assuming it's okay, is Battlefield Heroes.
Oh, God, yeah, they won't come get us now.
I'm pissed. Here's the thing.
What's
Here's
wrong?
The thing.
I don't think you even told me about this.
He's an angry,
no,
angry man.
Okay, go ahead.
I Twittered it briefly. Okay, here's the thing. The game itself, the basic game that's there, is pretty fun. Not perfect, but it's free. It's pretty fun. And we knew all the while their plan was, like, microtransaction cosmetics. You know, shirts and stuff like that. So, like, you know, you could get new clothing, you could get new weapons. The weapons you buy with an in-game currency. The clothing you have to buy with actual money. And it works like Microsoft points. You buy a chunk of points, and then you spend the points. So, all these items you buy, and also, you could buy emotes for your character using real-world money. They expire either in a week or a month, depending how much you pay. So you can buy a hat for your guy, and in 30 days, that hat goes away. You can spend your in-game currency to buy a new sniper rifle, and in 30 days, the sniper rifle is gone.
Can you buy things permanently?
No.
Really?
It's not like there's an option. Now, I did the quick math on this a few weeks ago, so excuse me if this is wrong, or if it changed, maybe I didn't really look. But to buy one piece of unique clothing, like so a hat, a shirt, a jacket, pants, shoes, gloves, and accessory, costs between $15 and $25.
Sweet.
And if you want to keep that look, you have to pay that a month. I'd rather this was just a $50 game I bought and I got all this shit. Hmm. And then, like, you're going to pay $3 for an emote. An emote, just like you, like, pointing at the guy and going, hey, costs $3 a month. Who the fuck is going to buy this? If you're playing this game and you hop in a Jeep, and the guy sitting next to you in the Jeep who's driving it is wearing clothing that is not the default, get out of the Jeep because he's an idiot and will get you killed. All right, he's not a smart person. And then they just announced, I should have put this in news, I realized I forgot it, they announced that Battlefield 1943, which is the downloadable game coming to PSN, Xbox Live Arcade, and then eventually the PC, is coming in June. That'll cost $15.
Yeah, I'd kind of rather play that.
I'd rather play that and buy it for $15 than deal with this shit. It's so stupid. Hmm. I can't believe they actually think this is, like, gonna work. I don't know who's gonna buy this stuff. Like, people might buy it once, and then, like, once it goes away, they're gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
But the game itself is fun. You know, it's not perfect, but it's fun.
Just right. Without after sombreros.
Right. Yeah. After that glowing endorsement, you want to get to the downloadable game releases?
Indeed. Alright, so on Nintendo's WiiWare, Crystal Defenders R1 came out, which we've talked about a lot. Virtual Console, Wonder Boy 3, Monster Lair for the Sega Genesis, which makes this either the 7th or 8th Wonder Boy game on the Virtual Console.
Which we already have a version of for cheaper.
Yes. And now that there's arcade games in the Virtual Console, there's even more they could bring. Maybe someone at Nintendo really likes Wonder Boy. I don't know. The DSiWare, the aforementioned Dr. Mario Express, and Master of Illusion Express Deep Psyche. I don't know what that is. Yeah. Xbox Live Arcade, we had Lode Runner. On the PlayStation Network, no PS3 games. They brought out Ratchet & Clank Size Matters for the PSP, so it's actually kind of cool. For $16, I might get that. And on Good Old Games, we have Postal, Classic and Uncut, and Jagged Alliance 2 Wildfire.
Postal.
Postal Classic is kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah, honestly.
Yes, there you go.
Postal, great.
All right, what's for reals?
For reals, we got Dynasty Warriors Gundam 2.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, honestly. Okay, Excite Bots. Trick Racing.
I'm cautiously optimistic about this game. It looks like it could be fun.
So it's pretty much a sequel to Excite Trucks, right?
Yeah, except you play as, like, these kind of almost Transformers. Like, they're all themed around bugs, I think. But, like, they could all do all these neat tricks as you're racing. Like, some can, like, grab onto a pole and take, like, a really sharp 90-degree turn. And, I don't know, people seem to speak favorably of it at GDC.
Okay.
So I'll see how the reviews shake down.
We got 101-1 Explosive Mega Mix for the DS. It's a mini-game thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Dream Day Wedding for, Dream Day Wedding Viva Las Vegas for the PC. Okay. Jelly Belly Ballistic Beans for DS, Wii, and PS2.
There's a Jelly Belly game?
Yes, there is. Adventure Collector's Edition Volume 1 for the PC.
What?
Features a trio of classic adventure games, including Scratches, Director's Cut, Penumbra Overture, and REM2. I don't know.
Penumbra Overture is actually a pretty sweet game.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It was, you might have heard it. It was like it's a first-person survival horror where, like, it's very physics-oriented. Like, you actually have a hand cursor that is your hand, and that's, you manipulate everything. Like, to open a door, you actually have to reach out, grab the knob, twist,
okay,
and pull.
I think I know what you're talking about. Hands-on Tangrams for the DS, whatever the hell that is. And that's it.
So, okay.
There we go. Okay. Well, that kind of brings us to the end of the show.
I do have one thing I want to wrap it up with.
What?
David, you had some Doom fanfiction earlier. Would you please share?
Hang on, just
this isn't yours, right? You didn't write this.
No, I did not.
It would be
this.
Pretty good if I did, but right. Alas, I did not. I kind of wish I did. I kind of want to turn I kind of want to turn it in as a college paper. Anyway, yeah. Okay, here it is. John Stelver.
This isn't long, is it?
No. It's like 13 lines.
Oh, I thought you were about to say pages or something.
Yeah, I'm going to read the entire thing.
Wait a second. You're like, no, this isn't long.
I did not
sign
up for
it. It's just, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like, holy shit. Okay, no, go for it.
John Stelvern waited. The lights above him blinked and sparked out of the air. There were demons in the base. He didn't see them, but had expected them for years. His warnings to Cernel, I'm pronouncing that Cernel because it's spelled C-E-R-N-E-L. I'm guessing he meant Colonel. Johnson were not listened to, and now it was too late. Far too late for now, anyway. John was
now it's too late. Far too late for now, anyway.
John was a space marine for 14 years. When he was young, he watched the spaceships and said to Dad, "I want to be on the spaceships, Daddy." Dad said, "No, you will be killed by demons." There was a time when he believed him. Then, as he got older, he stopped. But now, in the space station at the UAC, he knew there were demons. "This is Johnson, the radio crackered. You must fight the demons." So John guided his plasma rifle and blew up the wall. "He going to kill us," said the demons. "I will shoot at him," said the cyber demon, and he fired his rocket missiles. John plasmaed at him and tried to blew him up, but the ceiling fell and they were trapped and not able to kill. "No, I must kill the demons," he shouted. The radio said, "No, John, you are the demons." And then John was a zombie.
No! No, a twist!
Yeah, I know.
No, that's the end.
That is the end.
Why did he just listen to his father?
Honestly, Daddy, I want to be on the spaceships. No! You'll be killed by demons!
You will be killed by demons.
You will be killed by demons.
Oh, that was fantastic. Hey, everyone, might it just you all to know that we're 4 days, 2 hours, 13 minutes,
God
and 55 seconds away from the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 announcement. Just think, by the time people listen to this, it might be like more like 3 days and 10 hours and 54 minutes and 10 seconds until the announcement.
Awesome.
Oh, you didn't point out like the strange capitalization in this story. The "no, you will be killed by demons," if you read the capitalizations as louder, it's "no, you will be killed by demons!"
Yeah. there's only so much I can do in my... I've smoked 30 packs of cigarettes a day in here for the last 3 years in hell. Voice.
Which reminds me of an old YTMND fad where people would find bad fan fiction and read them out loud.
Yeah, I love those.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Well, I think this is pretty much wrapping things up, everyone. I want to mention that the new episode of Squadron Shame Squadcast is up, in which they talk about the Commodore 64. And hilariously enough, the whole thing was kind of brought about because of a comment we made on this show talking about...
Our fame is such now that we can influence the creation of entire podcasts.
Right. Wait, Sword Guy, wasn't that you who was on that episode with us when we
No, it was
George.
I actually know a bit about the Commodore 64 and that I had an emulator at one point.
Right, so you probably wouldn't have let us gotten away with what we said.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, pretty much we said... I think your exact words was, all right, Commodore 64 games are on the Virtual Console. Does anybody care? Which probably infuriated them. Oh, man. When I look, they were like, I don't know. Maybe that was big in Europe. And then George was like, yeah, I think it was.
Which, and it was. Apparently, it was actually smaller in Europe.
I thought it was huge in Europe.
No, according to the Sinclair Spectrum, it was all the Amiga and the Sinclair, yeah.
But there's check out the Commodore 64 podcast. Ad guy's on it, and I'm kind of in it, I guess.
And yes, for the record, Mike, it was decided that I should go first in the naming order just to piss you off.
Oh my god, it worked!
I'm very glad you noticed that.
I had noticed immediately. Like, what the fuck? Every time it's like, all right, everyone introduce yourselves. Here's the order. I'm like, all right. Oh, there I am at the bottom. Nice. Okay. Not next time, because their next mission is Indiana Jones. Which it is the current mission, but that's the next podcast. That's recording next Sunday. So,
cool.
Yes. All right. So, the Express Thing, everyone, you can find us at squadronofshame.com, as well as I just gave up.
Just do it.
That just wasn't happening.
Don't hesitate. Just play it off. You were doing that intentionally.
Yeah. As well as that explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. This is so hard right now to talk. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm getting dyslexic. You can contact me at tolkoto@gmail.com. No. Tolkoto@squadronofshame.com.
Adjguy@squadronofshame.com.
Who cares?
All right.
And you can follow us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
You can
this
find me there.
This has been painful. This has been the worst outro ever.
Do you have a sign-off yet?
What?
Do you have a sign-off yet?
No. Prepare to move all zig?
No.
For great justice? No?
No.
You can't just steal from something.
Just say goodbye.
Never.
Goodbye.